I love Madrid. And now that that little disclaimer is out of the way, there are plenty of things that everyone does in Madrid that I just want no part of. Things that I find to be pretty overrated. Or just things that I haven't done despite living in Madrid for more than a decade and visiting frequently. These are the Madrid musts that everybody talks about. You must visit whatever. Do these Madrid musts actually just suck? Or am I a grumpy introvert, quickly approaching middle age, who just doesn't appreciate the finer things in life anymore? I don't know. We'll find out. I'm Daniel Welsh, and this is the Spain to Go podcast, the best podcast in the entire multiverse for all things Spain. Today's topic, Madrid overrated. The Madrid musts that actually kind of suck. I've got five of them here. I'm sure there are more, but just to give you an idea, let's go. Madrid must number one is the world famous nightlife. As I mentioned, I am an introvert, and maybe this is an introvert thing, but going out and sweating all night in a club just doesn't fit into my definition of fun. Madrid's nightlife is supposedly great, world class even. Yeah, we've got traffic jams on Gran Vía at 4 a.m. This is a point of pride that people in Madrid talk about, the traffic jam on Gran Vía, even in the middle of the night. It's great, if you're into traffic jams. But is that really how you want to spend your life? I had a student years ago. She was a classy finance woman. She worked at a hedge fund. This was before the economic crisis, so she was doing very well. She wore pantsuits. She probably spent more than my week's salary on her hair and nails. And she told me that when she was younger, her plans for the weekend invariably involved getting drunk to the point of puking on Friday, puking all day Saturday, then going out on Saturday night and getting drunk all over again so that she could puke all day Sunday before going back to university. Fun times. I was shocked to hear that anyone, much less my classy hedge fund woman, did such things. Not that I'm averse to drinking, just that I am averse to drinking that much. However, she had recently, or since then, moved on to less pukey pastimes. She outgrew nightlife, as I suppose people do, and moved on, got married, had a kid, worked at a hedge fund. Anyway, I was once in Joya Slava, the famous nightclub. I believe it was the first disco in Spain, or at least it was claiming to be the first disco in Spain. For me, the Joya Slava experience was like being an anthropologist from the planet Neptune, who's discovering the strange habits of sweaty individuals in the middle of the night. It was weird. Actually, it was beyond weird. It was gross, it was depressing, and the meat market and social status games aspect of the experience just made me feel like my skin was crawling. Anyway, maybe the movida was much more fun. You remember the movida back in the 80s after the dictatorship ended and everybody went wild for a few years. It could have been more fun, or maybe it wasn't. I wasn't around in the 80s to find out. As usual, this is all just my opinion as some guy. But let's move on to Madrid must number two, the very overrated Santiago Bernabeu Stadium. I know what you're going to say. Football, it's the sport of kings. It's the king of sports. It's the beautiful game. Well, let me tell you an inconvenient truth. If Budweiser can call itself the king of beers and do so for decades, then anything can be the king of anything. I'm officially declaring myself, as of now, the king of Tetuán. That's Tetuán, my old neighborhood in Madrid, not Tetuán, the city in Morocco. Will being the king of Tetuán give me a tax exemption? Maybe get me a big fat pension for sitting around and feeling important? Who knows? Our former king is now in exile. I guess it didn't all work out for him. Anyway, back to football. Because here's another uncomfortable truth. Being popular doesn't mean something isn't lame. I guess at this point I should admit I've never been to an actual football match. But I've watched plenty of them at bars, and I find it difficult to get into the whole thing. I saw a comic years ago talking about the ways that Americans could try to enjoy football, and one of them was to cool your nerves by watching paint dry after your football match ends in a 0-0 tie. That's still sort of how I feel about it. Sports with higher scores are better. Don't at me. Like I mentioned, though, I lived in Tetuan in Madrid for the longest time, close to the stadium, so I would see the tour buses with people getting off and getting on all day long. The neighborhood would occasionally be shut down by violent hooligans of one type or another, and the police would be out when teams from Eastern Europe come to play, and the fans of this team happen to be like ex-military thugs who cause large problems and stuff like that. This would shut down my whole neighborhood. It was lame. However, the Real Madrid shop always seems to be full of people. And you know what? I just can't seem to give a damn. Though, in the interest of letting the other side be heard, I have an article up on the blog expatmadrid.com about why you should totally go to a Real Madrid match. Others have suggested, though, that it's better to go to the bars around the stadium, have a beer and a sandwich while watching the match, and you'll have just as much fun for a much lower price. Here's another overrated Madrid must: the Chocolate con Churros at San Ginés. San Ginés is this place with the bizarre schedule. It's right behind this church. It's around the corner from Joyeslava the Disco, actually. And it's right behind the church of the same name, San Ginés. It's in this little passageway. It's a quaintly beautiful scene. You know, a little bit medieval or whatever, the architecture surrounding it. However, the line is just so long that I've always been put off and I've never even been. I've tried. I went with some friends a few Christmases ago. My friend was with his kids and the kids wanted to go to San Ginés. They were from out of town, so they wanted to do typical Madrid things. Well, the line was all the way around the block this evening, a few days before Christmas, and we ended up with the kids at Dunkin' Donuts. That was fine. But if you like that kind of thing, chocolate con churros, I recommend Chocolateria Valor. It's actually a chain. They have one near Plaza Callao, also in Madrid, and presumably plenty of other places. I've been to Valor in different cities, and they're good. There are also any number of other churro con chocolate places around the city. A lot of your traditional sort of old-school bars will have churros con chocolate for breakfast. Anyway, you should keep in mind Spanish churros are a lot different than the ones in the US. They don't have sugar on them, for example. They're just sort of this slightly salty bread. And you dip them in the chocolate. The chocolate will be very thick, almost pudding consistency. So both the chocolate and the churros are different than in the US. I don't know what it's like in Ireland or wherever you're from. However, you have my permission as an almost local madrileño to skip San Ginés and go anywhere else. Or you could just lay off the processed carbs for a day. Definitely lay off the sugar. The gods of paleo dieting will smile on you. Our fourth thing on the list of overrated Madrid musts is Primark on Gran Vía. Oh my god, Primark on Gran Vía. For the whole week that it opened several years ago, nobody was talking about anything else. Primark is finally on Gran Vía. There was apparently a line around the block for that too. Anyway, I'm a little bit iffy on fast fashion these days. And the news reports, which I have tried to fact check and appear that they may or may not be true, but the reports of people finding notes from slave laborers inside their Primark trousers and socks do not make me want to rush down there. In fact, though, I was in a Primark once. It was in one of the shopping centers outside of town, La Gabbia or something like that. I stepped into the shop. This was with my girlfriend several girlfriends ago. I stepped in and looked around briefly, not even coming near any merchandise. My jaw dropped. The scene was like one of those nightmarish triptychs from Hieronymus Bosch, El Bosco. You know, the ones at El Prado Museum, maybe the Garden of Earthly Delights, but sort of the part of the Garden of Earthly Delights that's depicting hell more than anything else. Those are totally not overrated. You should go to the Prado just to see those. You will not regret it. But that is what Primark reminded me of. It was hellish. It was low-end consumerism in all its planet-destroying and soul-eroding glory. I was inside for about 5 seconds before I turned around and walked out. Never again. So feel free to give Primark a miss, as well as H&M, Zara, and the rest of the huge shops on Gran Via. Those slave laborers out in Asia will thank you. Finally, Madrid must number 5, and I know I'm going to get some blowback from this, but this is definitely overrated. Lavapiés. So if you've gotten this far in the article without thinking, oh Daniel, you're such an asshole, then maybe this last point will change your mind. Lavapiés, is it a bohemian wonderland, or is it overrated and overpriced? Well, I tend to think it's the second one, overrated and overpriced. I should mention that I've spent a lot of time in Lavapiés, especially my first few years in Madrid from, 2004 to 2010. At one point, I was dating a girl who lived very close to Plaza Lavapiés. She was paying way too much for her flat, but that's Lavapiés for you. When I was younger, I wanted to live there, but when I was younger, I also wanted to date girls with dreadlocks, and I thought I was some sort of bohemian artist type myself. Lavapiés was good for that. However, when I tried to find rooms in shared flats, I could find nothing within my price range. I remember one, it was like this strange triangular-shaped room with a mattress on the floor and barely any space to stand up. It was still way beyond my budget. Later, like I said, I dated a girl who lived in a room that cost 500 euros a month, which was also way out of my price range. Hers was a pretty nice place, but I told her before she rented it, earning 1,000 euros a month and paying 500 for rent is going to cause you problems. She didn't believe me. It definitely caused her problems later on. And have I mentioned all the local color you get for renting a place that expensive in Lavapiés? It was wacky. There was a neighbor who would grill bacon on the tiny patio at 3 a.m. She also shouted a lot. There were robberies on the street, occasional shootings, screaming victims, people running away, junkies who would sometimes let themselves into the building to shoot up on the stairs. I didn't think, after spending a lot of time there, that it was worth the extra rent money. That's when I moved to Tetuán and lived happily ever after. These days, I don't go to Lavapiés much, but when I do, I usually find myself thinking, you know, La Latina is right up the street, and Huertas is just across Calle Atocha. Wouldn't I be happier hanging out in one of those neighborhoods? In any case, I do like a few things down there. There's some good pizza and some good Indian food. I liked a place called Bar Colores, the Senegalese restaurant on Maison de Paredes. I don't know if they're still there, but if you're looking for Senegalese food, you're not going to find it in Calle Serrano. Also, it is true that I had some good times around Lavapiés way back in the day, and you should definitely hang out there if you're into the bohemian lifestyle, whatever that means. I'm not going to tell you to stay away, but it's definitely not my favorite neighborhood anymore. So, are a lot of Madrid's top sites overrated? Well, I wrote an article a few years ago about some of the worst tourist traps, as well as some cheaper, better alternatives. And I'm not saying these Madrid musts won't be enjoyable for you. You might love Lavapiés, you might love San Ginés, you might love Real Madrid and the Bernabeu Stadium. I just feel that some of the better-known places around town are crowded, expensive, and otherwise overrated. But that's just the opinion of one almost local. One almost local who happens to be the king of Tetuan. That's all I've got for today. I hope you enjoyed this episode. We recently passed the 2-year anniversary of this podcast, and I have to say, 25 episodes in 2 years is not my greatest accomplishment around here, but I work on a lot of different projects. If you have any ideas for future episodes of the podcast, please let me know. I do some research, and it often takes me a long time to come up with something like this. I don't want to be the typical person who has been around for 6 weeks, has a bunch of half-form opinions, and just spouts off for the whole internet to hear. I like to do a little bit of a better job, but that takes some time. So let me know. You can go to expatmadrid.com and find the contact form. Write me a message about whatever it is that you would like to hear about, either on the blog or here on the podcast, and I will do my best to help out. I am seeing that week by week, more people are listening, so I guess I'm doing something right here, and people are finding this interesting. I would like to thank the cup of cold brew coffee that I'm drinking right now. I would like to thank my new MacBook for doing such an admirable job of recording this. And I would like to thank you, the listener, for making this all worthwhile. Have a great day. Bye.